Rest. What comes to your mind when you hear that word? For some, you picture yourself feet in the sand, sitting at the water's edge, watching the sunset over the bluest water that you could imagine. Rest. Maybe it's a long hike through the mountains as you enjoy the scenery and the cool mountain air. Maybe your idea of rest is sitting in a deer stand in the middle of the woods all by yourself, or reeling in speckled trout, or maybe a cabin in the woods with a good book and a warm fire and a cup of tea. Maybe your idea of rest is a relaxing day at the spa. Rest is important for us. Something that we look forward to and long for. Rest is actually critical to our physical and emotional and spiritual health. And as we think about rest, there are a few things that we have to admit right away. First, many of us, maybe even most of us, have trouble resting. We can't turn it off. We can't put things down. We work and toil and labor almost all the time. We have texts and emails late at night. We feel this pressure to perform and produce that makes us think that we simply cannot rest. We hear story after story of workaholics who are burned out and burned up with life. Rest is something that most acknowledge as good, but it's also something that's difficult for us to come by. It's hard to find and enjoy. Sadly, here's another fact about rest. A lot of people don't associate Christianity with rest. For many, following Jesus or being a Christian is equated with all sorts of extra stuff you're supposed to do. Being a Christian means to these folks doing certain things and not doing other things. And maybe for some of you, even in this room, who are Christians, who are believers, the idea of living the Christian life is actually exhausting to you. It feels tiring and overwhelming. And if that's where you are this morning, I want to remind you there really is good news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That our God is gracious and compassionate, that He's not a taskmaster, He's not a slave driver. Not only does He call us to rest in Jesus Christ and to trust Him and have our lives identified by and hidden and found in Jesus, God also calls us to rest week in and week out from our regular labors and callings. Rest is built into the rhythm of life. It's been built into God's good plan for us to flourish as human beings from the very beginning of creation. And it's not just ceasing from activity. It's not just sleeping or getting away. The key to rest is remembering, it's knowing that we rest in God. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said it like this: "Our hearts are restless, O God, until they find their rest in you." So this morning, I want to invite you through this passage to consider with me the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord of rest. Jesus Christ is the Lord of rest. Believing that, learning that, repenting toward that end can have a huge impact in our lives. First thing I want us to see this morning is that Jesus defines rest. Let's look at the passage together. Jesus defines rest in the face of opposition. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, you've seen this theme growing and playing out in the ministry and life of Jesus Christ. Growing conflict and opposition from the Pharisees and other religious leaders. With Jesus, they didn't like Jesus. They didn't like the way that He did things. They were setting out time and time again to challenge Him, to trip Him up, to discredit His ministry, to take Him down. And in this section, we see Jesus and His disciples walking through a grain field on the Sabbath day. And it may not be obvious from first read, but there were probably
a large group of people, Jesus, his disciples, and then other followers of Christ, then people that are interested in Christianity, and then the Pharisees were there as well. Jesus defines rest in the face of opposition. Jesus defines rest, and he reminds us it's about rest and not rules. What happened in this passage? As he and his disciples walked along, they simply reached out their hands and grabbed some grain off of the stalk. They ate it as they walked. They ground it together in their hands. Think of this as first century trail mix. It's the same thing that you would do if you were hiking in the woods and you passed by a blackberry bush with ripe blackberries. You'd pick them and eat them. And the Pharisees were there watching. They were the rule experts. And here they accused Jesus and his disciples of reaping, of harvesting on the Sabbath, something that God's word did forbid in the Old Testament. Basically, they accused Jesus and his disciples of working on the Sabbath day. And it's easy for us to see that their accusations were petty and ridiculous. It'd be like saying, you can't do work on the Sabbath, so don't brush your teeth or take a bath, because that's work. And in the face of their unfounded accusation, Jesus asks them a question. He goes back to the Old Testament. And he said, what about the time that David and his men were on the run? They were exhausted, they were tired, they were hungry. They came to the temple and they asked to eat of the bread of the presence, something that was normally reserved for worship, reserved for the priests. The priests willingly gave them this bread of the presence. And it says in 1 Samuel, this is why. Because David and his men were hungry and in need. Essentially, what Jesus is telling them is that they were more worried about man-made rules, rules that the Pharisees had added to, than they were about the spirit and the heart of God's law and the Sabbath. It's about rest and not rules. It's not included here in Luke's account, but in the parallel account in Mark's gospel, we read these words. Jesus says, the Sabbath was for man and not man for the Sabbath. And I think this is one of the keys for us to understanding what resting in God is all about. The Lord's Day, the Sabbath rest that it offers us, that it signifies for us, is something that's a gift from God. The Sabbath is for us. It's not meant to make us miserable. It's not meant to crimp our style. It's a gift from God from the beginning for us to rest and to rest in Him. And then there's this summary. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Messiah, Jesus, is the Lord of rest. Have you ever thought about before that Christianity, one of the basic parts of Christianity at its core, is rest? It's something that God promises to us. It's part of what He wants for us. It's something that He gives us. It's something that we're called to actively pursue and embrace. Are you tired this morning? Are you exhausted? Are you spent? And I'm not just talking about daylight savings time and all that stuff. In a bigger sense, why do you think that is? Why do you think it's hard for us to rest? I think there are several reasons. I'd like to highlight just a few this morning. Why don't we rest? One, we think we have to hold it all together. One of the reasons we're tempted to work ourselves to the bone and get burned out is because we think it all depends on us. It all depends on me. I've got to make it happen. At the core, if we're honest, this is really a God complex. If we stop, if we slow down, then everything else will come crashing down. I've got to make sure all my relationships are in a good place. I've got to do all the reports at work because no one else can do them as good as I can. I've got to make sure everything is okay. It's so easy for us to fall into this self-reliant, it all depends on me mindset in our lives. And it's not hard to see how this type of thinking can lead to absolute exhaustion. Have you ever seen someone spin plates? Okay, so it's like this guy and he has a stick and he starts spinning plates. And it's like, oh, you can spin a plate, that's great. And then it's like 2 and 3 and 5 and 10. And there are all these plates spinning. And you're so stressed out because you're waiting for everything to come crashing down. This is the way that I think about this part. We think we have to hold it all together. And it makes it difficult for us to rest. Another reason it's hard for us to rest is because we think we need to earn it in life. This is a common challenge. I think it's hardwired into us. We can't rest because we think we have to earn every part of our lives. We're on this treadmill of trying to prove to the world and to ourselves and to our parents, our children, our friends, our bosses, our neighbors, maybe subconsciously even to God, that I'm smart and I'm successful and I'm worth it and I'm funny and I'm producing. I think I've done enough to be accepted by you, God. Haven't I done enough people to be accepted by you? It's hard for us to rest because we think we have to earn it. I remember being heartbroken hearing a young woman tell me once that when she put her head on the pillow at night, the words that haunted her were these words: "You haven't done enough." Sometimes we don't rest because we think we have to earn our place in this world and in the next. Sometimes it's hard for us to rest because we're running from something. This is a common temptation, right? To fill our lives with activity and stuff and work and recreation and events and programs, all of which can be really good things, just so we don't have to deal with our fears and our problems and our past. If your schedule is always full, if there's something always on your calendar, if there's always somewhere else to go, then it's easier to avoid and ignore the hurt and the pain. Another reason I think it's hard for us to rest, and this is actually personal, is I think we're addicted to technology. And I'm sure there's all kind of data about this out there, but just anecdotally, most of us are plugged in all the time. And I know for me, when I have downtime or quiet time, I instinctively reach for my phone to refresh Facebook and Instagram and my email for no reason. The constant bombardment with information, good, bad, or indifferent, I believe is a hurdle for us resting in life. Why do we find it so difficult to rest? Bottom line, because it's hard for us to believe that God is in control and that He's going to take care of us. Resting and stopping and setting up boundaries in our lives, self-discipline, faith, those things mean that we trust in God. He wants us to rest in Him. So the first thing that we see is that God defines rest. Jesus defines rest. The second thing I want us to see this morning is that Jesus gives rest. He gives us the freedom to rest. And resting in Jesus gives us the freedom to rest. You may be thinking to yourself, what you're saying is great, preacher. Thanks, Josh. But how can I rest? Take a look at my calendar. Where can you see in this busy schedule where I can rest? I believe it starts with a renewed commitment to rest in Jesus Christ. One of the beautiful and fundamental truths of Christianity is that we're accepted and loved and secure and safe because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means He's the Lord of our lives. He's the Lord of our identity. And our worth and our standing is not rooted in us trying to hold it all together or by earning things in our lives. Our identity is in Jesus, knowing Him and His gospel. The full and free acceptance that He offers us gives us the freedom to rest in Him from our fears, from our guilt, and from our shame. And this is one of the, part of the ongoing calling of believers in this world, to actively rest in and put our faith, keep putting our faith in Jesus Christ, to trust God with the details of our lives. See, we never get over the gospel. The good news of Jesus is something that we need to let sink into our hearts and souls. We come back to over and over again for abundant life now and everlasting life into the future. That's one of the basic building blocks for us to begin to have the freedom to rest, is resting in Jesus. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 11, a very familiar passage. Come to me, all who weary, who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in spirit, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus offers us rest. He calls us to rest. He provides rest for our souls. And actively resting in Jesus is the way that we begin to rest in our lives. Resting in Jesus also gives us the freedom to work. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but you know, a yoke is a thing that you put over an ox to help the ox pull the plow. Notice Jesus doesn't say, get rid of all yokes. You don't need those anymore. No, He says, take my yoke upon you. He's the one in control of our lives. He's our Lord. One of the keys to resting is working for King Jesus, using our minds and our bodies and our creative energy to work to and for God's glory. And sometimes that's very challenging. It's difficult. Part of the Christian worldview is that we have the freedom to pursue excellence, to work and seek to manage our time, not because you can never make mistakes, not because you have to impress all these people, but why? What's it say in Colossians? Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. 6 days shall you work. The seventh is a day of rest. It's a Sabbath to the Lord your God. We can't truly rest. We can't truly appreciate rest unless we work for God's glory. Resting in Jesus also gives us the freedom to say no. Part of the loving acceptance and identity that we have in Christ means that we can have and make priorities. One of the reasons I think we're so tired and exhausted in this world is that it's hard for us to tell people no. It's hard for us to say, you know what, I just can't do it right now. I'm overstretched and overbooked. Resting in Jesus gives us the freedom to say no without crushing guilt or the fear of missing out. Because you're loved by Jesus Christ, you don't have to please everyone in the world. Resting in Jesus also gives us the freedom to worship. You can't rest without worship. Worshiping God is a vital part of our humanity. It's something that we were made to do, to praise and honor our Creator. It helps restore our spiritual sanity. Guess where Jesus went on the Sabbath? We've seen it before. He went to the synagogue. He went to the church. It says it in verse 6. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he was teaching. This was part of the pattern of his life. Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, went to the church. It was part of the fabric of his life. And the rest of the New Testament assumes this principle. Local bodies of believers, Christians being connected in a local church. Peter's letters, Paul's letters were to the church in different cities and different places. And one of the practical applications is that worshiping God is best facilitated in the life of a local church. Now, this is the ultimate preaching to the choir. But here's the thing. Personal, private worship is an important part of the Christian life. Resting in Jesus gives us the freedom to do that. Corporate worship is a very important part of the Christian life. Resting in Jesus gives us the freedom to do it. And as you think about the church, as you think about this local expression of the body of Christ, one of the things that I think applies to us here is to be patient with the church. We have new elders and deacons that will be ordained and installed next Sunday. We're really excited about that. There's a learning curve for these guys. Be patient with them. We have a new pastor who will be starting in about 6 weeks. He is a great guy and a gifted pastor. He'll also be learning a new place and a new people and new culture and new stories. And he's also a sinner. Be patient with him. Colossians 3 says it this way: put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive others. And above all these, put on love, which binds them together in perfect harmony. You see, resting in Christ worship is not about what you can get. We rest in Christ, we worship Christ, we have the freedom to do that, and it's a catalyst for us to serve and honor and worship God and other people. See, resting in Jesus gives us the freedom to serve. Worship reminds us that rest is a gift. It reminds us of the gracious heart of God. He's not a taskmaster, but a loving father. But it's also very important to remind us that our rest is not for ourselves. It's not just for ourselves. We need to be recharged and reminded of the fact that we rest for a reason. To bring life, to share life, to give life. We see this demonstrated in this passage as Jesus once again takes on the Pharisees face to face. And he calls this man up. He can tell they're watching him. He calls him up and he looks around at all of them and he asks this soul-searching question. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? After looking around at them, he said to him, stretch out your hand. This is another expression of the lordship of Jesus Christ. This man who had a withered hand, a withered arm, and a bona fide miracle. His arm grew out by the power of God. The rest that we get is so that we can serve others. And that's what Jesus demonstrated here. It's right to give life on the Lord's day. And the Pharisees were madder than ever. We rest for a reason. We worship for a reason. We work for a reason. And it's not primarily for ourselves. It's so that we can bring life to this world. To help and to heal and to move toward the brokenness. To do justice and love mercy. And to walk humbly with God. To remember the poor and the widow and the orphan. And the outcast and the refugee. Jesus is the Lord of rest. And he calls us to rest for a reason. And that reason is to serve him and to serve others. This is why service needs to be part of our lives on the micro and macro level. Serving reminds us that we're not here for ourselves. Where does it start? It starts where we live. Husbands, wives, children, friends, roommates, look for ways to serve one another in the home. Don't wait to be asked. Look for opportunities to serve. Think about the people that live near you, neighbors, friends. look for opportunities, move toward them in compassion, to serve them because Jesus Christ loves and cares for you. It's why we need to remember and think about and move toward ministry and service as a church. Seeing the big picture of Jesus' life and ministry reminds us that we are made to live and work and rest and serve. I think sometimes our problem is that we've forgotten what we were made for. One of the things that we were made for is to give life and show life. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're blessed to be a blessing. We read about it from Psalm 67 this morning. We're blessed by God. Why? So that the peoples will praise you, O God. We have this privilege of loving people and pursuing people and telling them about the amazing grace that's found in Jesus. Having Christ as your Lord and Master, coming to terms with the fact that He's the Lord of rest, that He's the Lord of everything, gives you the freedom, not the obligation, not the burden, not the weight, like the Pharisees, the freedom to give your life away. See, it's helpful for us to think about the details and the principles and the applications of a passage like this. But the real key is experiencing and enjoying rest in Jesus Christ. I know that you have burdens and cares and concerns. I know that some of you are already burned out and overwhelmed with life and work and family and kids and parents. The burden of the future, the unknown, the fear of failure. How do I even begin to rest? Where do I even start? I want to invite you this morning to have the courage and the faith and the hope for the first time or the thousandth time to cast your cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ. To rest in Him. Because He's the Lord of rest. He gives it. He defines it. He grants it. Only in Him can we find rest for our souls. Maybe it means you saying to the Lord that you're the Lord of rest. I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know how to start. Lord, help me. Mold me. Shape me into your image. I'm heavy laden. I'm weary. I'm on the verge of being hopeless. Help me to believe that you can and you want to, and you will give me rest. Help me to believe, Jesus, that you are gentle and lowly in spirit, that a bruised reed you will not break, and a smoking flax you will not snuff out. Help us, Lord Jesus, to find rest for our souls in you. Let's pray together.